Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die, would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there, by faith, I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Reading from Jeremiah, the third chapter, begins to read at verse 6. The Lord said unto me in the days of Josiah the king, Hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She is gone up on every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, Turn thou unto me, and she returned not. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw, when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, and I had put her away, and given her a bill of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass, through the lightness of her whoredom, that she defiled the land, and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet for all this her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignly, saith the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city, and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Let's give thanks for these words, as well as all of Scripture. And those of us who have the Scripture, we can give thanks that God has given it to us, and we can pray for those who do not yet know it. Many homes that have never seen the Scripture in them. Many children that have never been told anything but evil things about the message of the gospel. Let's pray for them and pray that God will send laborers into all the fields which are white of the harvest where the laborers are few. Let's pray that we might have such a time of ingathering as the last verse that we read, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart. That it won't be just for one people, but for all nations. Let's pray that God will accompany his word that is heard with his Spirit, that we might have reviving in the church, that the church might be made once again a salt and a light in every nation in which we find a true church. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ. We come giving thanks in his name for all that has been given. We also come begging in his name for all that is needed. We pray first of all that thou wilt teach us our needs, that we may not continue even as some of the churches, and we think of Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, saying you are puffed up. The church at Laodicea, you say you are rich and need of nothing. And they did not know, Father, as Christ could say to them, that they were poor and wretched and miserable and naked and blind. Help each one of us to see that that is our beginning and our relationship with thee in that blindness and that poorness and that sinfulness. And Father, that sadly we can revert back to that in the church and lose that and leave that first love. And then, Father, need to be revived as the church at Corinth was, and the other churches were called to repent, or the endangerment of them. And we pray, Father, that we might hear that today. Thou would give us ears to hear thy voice, that thou would give us all that we need because of Christ. We give thanks that thou dost give him, that he came down to earth those 2,000 years ago, that he lived, died, rose again, returned to heaven, that we know he's coming again on the clouds of glory. But we pray that before that day comes, that there might be more sinners gathered in. We pray it for ourselves, we pray it for our families, we pray it for our churches, we pray it for our nations, each one of us in whatever nation we are. We pray it, Father, for every part of the world and every part of society. We think of thy word given by Paul to Timothy, that to pray for kings and for those in authority over us, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life, and that thou wouldst have all men to be saved. And we believe, Father, that though it may not be every individual, it is all men in every nation, and it is all men of every sort. And we pray that, as Jeremiah could speak later to these people here, that he could speak of from the least to the greatest, that thou wouldst deal with all of them. And we pray that that might take place again today, that we might return from our wicked ways, our immoral ways, our deceitful ways, our killing ways, in the ways of killing the unborn, as Judah was guilty of shedding the innocent blood, and we are too, Father, and many nations throughout the world. And we pray that Thou wilt open our eyes to our sin, and Thou wilt bring us to repentance and then forgiveness all through Christ. We pray also, Father, for those that need the healing hand in the body, the temporal needs. We pray for those in starvation. We pray for those that are homeless. We pray for the war-torn lands. We pray for the broken homes and the children in those homes. We pray for other needs that there are in the schools, in the workplace, in every way, Father, of society. The lonesome, the troubled, the fearful, we pray that all of them might be dealt with because of Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. As we look at this word that God gave to Jeremiah, telling him in the first chapter to speak all that he commanded, he said, "Be not dismayed at their faces," speaking of judgment, speaking of the seething of it from the north and what would happen. And we know that it did in the end take place in terrible, terrible ways of death, four kinds mentioned, and some taken away in captivity, and those in captivity gone for 70 years. And also we have the many promises for the present. If they would repent, they would not remove, as we can read in the next chapter. The first verse, "If thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then thou shalt not remove." God continued to call them to repentance in the first part of this prophecy of Jeremiah, and the latter part, finally, not to pray for this people for the averting of judgment. Many, many different things we can learn from this prophecy of the past, the present, and the future. Many wonderful promises in here that have not yet been fulfilled, that was given for the house of Judah, the house of Israel, and that we can say, me too. I need what is described, particularly of God writing His law on our hearts, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Each and every one of us need that from God, through and because of Christ. We have been studying of Him as the Lord of hosts, the Redeemer. And that was given many times in the prophecy of Isaiah. It was given as well in the Psalms. And it is given many, many times in this book of Jeremiah. The Lord of hosts. He is called the Redeemer. But we also have to see that the Lord of hosts, the Redeemer, is one that can become angry. As we see in Psalm 2 that we have considered some time ago, kiss the Son, kiss the Redeemer, love Him, adore Him, believe on Him. And as the psalmist continues, kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish in your way when His wrath is kindled but a little. The Lamb of God showing wrath? Yes, He will. He will punish those in the end that have not obeyed the gospel, that have turned away His love. What hurts more? Turning away anger or turning away love? If God is angry and we turn away from Him, somebody might say, well, there's things to fear, reason to hide. But when God comes only in love, to turn that away, wouldn't that bring terrible wrath? And it does, and it will. His name is the Lord of hosts, the Redeemer. He is that, the Redeemer. But he is much, much more. Many, many things. And they don't have to be taken out of the fact that he is the Redeemer. What else he is does not lessen that. He is the Creator. With the Father, he created the world. He is the one that, as Isaiah writes in the 42nd chapter, the one that magnifies the law. Because he magnifies the law doesn't lessen the fact that he's the Redeemer. He magnifies the law that we will see its holiness. He magnifies the law that we will see our sin. He magnifies the law that we will see the need of a Redeemer. And that we will see more clearly that he is the Redeemer. It all works together to the glory of God. It all works together for our present and eternal good if we believe the Word. The whole Word. We're so prone to take part of it. We're so prone to do like Christ said of those around about him in his day here on earth. You make void the commandments of God by your tradition. And how much worse to make void the love of God by our tradition. The love of God in giving his Son, not only to die for our sin, but to apply that death to us and showing us our need of it, showing us in the church, showing us in Christian homes, showing us in what has been a Christian nation, that we are sinners like others. Christ told the church that I referred to a little while ago, the one that he said of it, you say you are rich and need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and naked and poor and blind. He said to them, as many as I love, I chasten and rebuke. Then to turn that chastening and rebuking away is turning his love away. That's what they did here with Jeremiah. We can go to some later chapters and we read where Jeremiah spoke and they said, smite him on the mouth. They put his feet in stocks. They put him in a miry pit. Some said, kill him. Because God was, through Jeremiah, rebuking. But also promising. Calling. Oh, how we need to hear that call today. That call in warning. Repent or perish. Our nation will, and your nation very likely will too. I don't know of any nation that doesn't need to repent. Whether they've had the gospel in the past, and many of them almost lost it. Many do not think of what is needed. We're commemorating this year 500 years after the Reformation. 500 years after Martin Luther struggled in his sinfulness and cried out to God and by his testimony experienced forgiveness and then taught justification by faith alone. Not through works, but by the grace of God. There were other things that Luther may not have done rightly and taught rightly. But that was one thing that was needed in contrast to what was being taught and practiced. Some were even selling righteousness for certain amounts of money, especially for their relatives. They could buy them free. Give money to the one that was doing this. And part of the reason why Luther did it was because of that. There were other things as well. He wrote 95 theses nailed them all to the door of the Wittenberg building, and different things were mentioned, different parts of Scripture, different doctrines. All that, he said, needed to be taught, needed to be believed, needed to be practiced. But much of the church was like these people here, turned but faintly and not with the whole heart. All through Scripture we have that, both Old and New Testament. We have it here. Later the Lord Jesus said there were many who will say, Lord, Lord, we did this, we did that. We just mentioned the church at Laodicea. Say you are rich and need of nothing. And other things could be said about the churches. Yes, the churches. And it was basically the church of the day of Christ, the church of the day of John the Baptist, that he addressed them as generation of vipers. Today they would be called in many churches covenant children. The covenant of promised to Abraham, to his seed. And many will say what was promised to him is true of us as well. If it is true, and God loves us in that way, loves us and our children, he will call us to repentance. He will call us to conversion. He will call us to something further than turning but faintly and not with the whole heart. In the parable of the sower that the Lord Jesus gave, recorded in Matthew 13, Luke chapter 8, Mark chapter 4, the sower went forth to sow. The Gospel of Luke records Christ's words and said, the sower sowed the seed, and the seed is the word of God. A perfect word. It may not always be sown perfectly. It may not always be sown as it should be, the whole word. But basically, when God calls someone to preach the gospel, to preach repentance toward God and faith toward Christ, it is the word of God that must be preached. And it was evidently preached there by that one described as the sower. And then it says some fell on the wayside. The birds of the air picked it up. Wayside hearer comes to them. It even spoke of the devil taking it out of their heart. Many in the church are that way. They hear it, they know it, they say they believe it, but it has almost no effect on their life. And probably the saddest part of some of the effect that it has is entirely wrong. It makes them proud. I'm right. My family is right. My church is right. Just like those that were here, they were right. They said, the law will not perish from the priest. The word from the prophet, they were right. They said, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord is this. Three times repeated. Jeremiah had to say, this is no longer the temple of the Lord. If Jeremiah were here today, and God were directing him as he did then, how many churches would he stop by and say, not this one, not that one, not that one? They've departed from the truth. God said to Jeremiah later, 22nd or 23rd chapter, of the prophets that were there at that time, they will not profit the people at all by their lightness and by their lies. Part of it here was probably hearing the truth, but not turning with the whole heart and hearing it. But at the same time, they were hearing the truth, probably from Josiah and some with him, they had found the word of God. They had trembled before it. Josiah rent his clothes, cleansed the land, cleansed the temple, had a wonderful time of the Passover. All of that was in the time already before Jeremiah was prophet. Jeremiah actually came on a rather wonderful scene. And kind of in the middle of what Josiah was doing. But then here is the sad result. They knew what had happened to Israel a number of years before in the time of Hezekiah. God left them in their sin. The Assyrians came and carried them away. Carried them away. Brought other people back. Ever since that, and at that time, it was a mixed race. They called them the Samaritans. We won't go into that, but these people knew that. And it said, as we read, the Lord said unto me, in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up on every high mountain and under every green tree, and hath played the harlot. And I said, she hath done all these things, turn thou unto me, and she returned not. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. The people that knew the most of anybody in the world at that time, the people that had the priest, had the Levites, had the Word of God, had found it, read it to Josiah. Why it didn't stay with them, with the priest and the teachers, that they should have known it all the time, I don't know. But they found it in the temple when they were cleansing the temple. It evidently got laid aside, hid away, and for a time, evidently, not read and learned and obeyed and remembered. We might even wonder, why did Josiah do what he did when seemingly in the beginning the book of the law was not there? And Jeremiah wasn't there either. Jeremiah came after he was doing these things, but the people didn't turn with Josiah. Verse 10 again, yet for all this, what they saw in Israel, what happened to Israel, he says, they have not turned with the whole heart, but feignedly. And three times they're called treacherous sister Judah. Treacherous sister. Treacherous sister. Can you believe that a church can be called treacherous? I can. Sadly, I've seen it. Myself, wayside hearer. Myself, shallow ground hearer. For a number of years. Then finally, God showed me I was just a Pharisaical hypocrite. Proud, self-righteous, but no righteousness from God and in Christ. What is your standing with God? What has He taught you? What has He given you? Has He given you Christ?
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.